Good morning. Hello. I hope you're well. We are thinking about connection. We've been thinking about that for the last few weeks in these odd times when some of us feel really connected through the power of the internet and Zoom. We never heard of Zoom before a few weeks ago, had we? But also we feel really disconnected with the social distance from the ones that we really want to be with, but cannot. There are some things that have crept up on me that I am really missing. Driving. Usually, I don't like driving. I am a reluctant driver. I've hardly driven my car, only for funerals. But the other day, when it was raining, on the way to Gwyneth's funeral, there I was in the car, thinking, oh, I have missed driving, even though I'd forgotten how the windscreen wipers worked. Oh dear. And something else, this weekend I was reminded I was missing. Oh yes, the Eurovision Song Contest. I can hear some of you groaning from here. Love it or loathe it, it's a bit like Marmite, isn't it? I bet some of you are very glad that you don't have to watch it this year. But what I do love about Eurovision is that you've got people coming from all around the world. They come together and it's a celebration of uniqueness and difference. There's a unity of purpose. There's a connectedness. It might not be the best music in the world, but it's a joyous celebration of everything cheesy. Everyone is there for the same reason. I think it's wonderful. I wonder if it's kind of a little picture of heaven. In heaven, I imagine people from every tribe and language and people and nation gathered together to worship Jesus Christ. People with their unique cultural backgrounds who are all connected by one thing, their love for Jesus. Now, that might not sound like Eurovision to you, but it's a bit like the beginning of church services. There's a bit that I really like when everybody is mingling around and welcoming one another. You see people connect. You see people crying with one another and praying for one another and catching up and hugging when we were allowed to do that. It's lovely to see the church connecting with one another. I always smile when I see that. As we've learned in these last few weeks, we are connectable people, bought for connection with one another, with God and with the world. And today I want to think briefly about how we as Christian disciples are connected in order to help others connect with Jesus. If you've spent any time around West Kirby United Reformed Church, this won't surprise you. This logo is on our walls, it's on our letterheads, it's on our windows. But more importantly, hopefully, than that, hopefully it runs through us like letters in Blackpool Rock. We are called to be a people who connect our community to Christ, sharing our faith, introducing and saying, come and see, to people. From the very beginning of Jesus' evangelistic ministry, we see that faith means connecting people to Jesus. And faith in Jesus means a connecting lifestyle. We connect to Jesus, and then we connect others to Jesus. When you become a follower of Jesus, you can't help but find that we're called to connect others to him, that they may experience what we have experienced in Jesus. And that's called evangelism. And when lots of people hear the word evangelism, this is their reaction. Some of you were probably thinking that, weren't you? Well, let's hear one encounter from the Bible of one person's natural encounter and attempt to connect someone with Christ. because there are important things that we can learn from that. It comes from Acts chapter 8, and it's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. The words will appear on the screen. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a lamb, like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is his prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all towns until he reached Caesarea. What a great story. And wouldn't you love just to not have to travel, but just to poof, go and appear at your destination? This Philip is one of the early leaders of the church. He's only mentioned three times in the Bible. He's mentioned for helping oversee the distribution of food to widows in the congregation. Yes, he worked at the food bank. And along with the story we hear today, we're told in Acts 6 that he was known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. The church was under persecution, and Philip had gone to flee from that trouble to Samaria, where he promptly began sharing his faith with the people there. We're told that God had gifted him in evangelism, and many people gave their lives to Jesus and were connected to Christ because of his ministry. And at that point, when things were going really well for him, his ministry was thriving, an angel appears and tells him to leave and go south. He's not told why, but he does what he's asked. He's ready to be moved on and used. Well, I guess that's the starting place, isn't it, for any of us, if we want to be people who connect others to Christ. It's a simple question: are we ready to be used by God? Philip was. Are you? Even in these weird days when life is not normal, are you willing to be used by God to help connect your community to Christ? To connect your online and virtual community, your friends, your family, whoever, to Christ? Philip was willing to allow his life to be interrupted. Life was going well. His ministry was fantastic. But God needed him elsewhere for a particular purpose and plan. Our value as witnesses for Jesus does not depend on our ability. Our value depends on our availability, our obedience. Philip isn't told what the plan is. He doesn't know the destination. And much like the story of the people of God wandering in the desert, It's in the journey that God uses them. The same here for Philip. It's on the journey that the purpose of his willingness and obedience is revealed. It's one Ethiopian who was spiritual and searching. So we need to be ready to be used by God, and we have to be ready to hear what God is saying. Being a Christian who connects others to Christ means we have to listen out for what the Spirit is saying and who he's leading us to. Those of us who know the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives can tell loads of stories, I'm sure, of when a person has just dropped into our mind when we were doing something else and we've suddenly thought of a person and thought, oh, I must get in touch with them. And you drop them a note, or you send them the church flowers, or you give them a ring, and you find out that it was exactly perfect timing because that person was struggling or needed encouragement in some way. And you find out that actually that was God, that was the Holy Spirit using our listening and our obeying. There are people in your life that God wants to connect himself to, but needs your help. When Philip sees the Ethiopian man reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit urges Philip to go and explain and ask what he understands and knows about the text. Philip must have been ready to listen. He was connected to God. Tony reminded us about the importance of being connected to the vine, Jesus. And Philip certainly was. He was listening for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Who is God prompting you to befriend, to pray for, to speak with? And are you listening to that prompting? So we need to be ready to be used by God. We have to be ready to hear what God is saying, and we have to be ready to make a connection. We heard this. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Making a connection means showing an interest in others. And Philip did that. What's the reading? How can I help you? Let me explain it with you. The passage that the Ethiopian man was reading provided a perfect opportunity for Philip to connect him with Jesus. This is about Jesus. Look and see, he said. We have opportunities in front of us all the time. People put in our path. We may not bump into people reading Isaiah outside of Aldi, but we have a lot of common ground meeting people in our lives. God will place people in our lives on the roads of our journey so that we can get to know them and we can share life and Jesus with them. We're talking about connection. But in the end, it's about connection to Christ. That's the end goal. Philip connects this stranger to Christ. They don't just have small talk. It's a conversation with meaning and a purpose. This Ethiopian man is connected and then he's baptized. And we need to be people who are ready to see spiritual connections and share Jesus with our friends. And for Philip, that meant bringing the gospel to one person. The gospel came to Ethiopia through this conversation, through one excluded spiritual seeker. Remember, we're told that this man is a eunuch. Eunuchs were not allowed to be in the temple with anyone else. So where else could he find the answer he was looking for? But through a normal person ready to be used by God, ready to listen to him and ready to connect him to Christ. And because of that conversation, his life changed. He was a really important person back home. He was the first Gentile convert in Acts. And some church traditions claim that he went back home and began evangelizing Ethiopia. If all we do is make a connection with people and never connect them to Jesus and his church, then we have failed in our mission as connecting Christians. Matthew 4, verse 19 says this: "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." I'm always challenged when I hear this quote. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Ouch. The idea is that we as disciples do our part in making new disciples as an outpouring of what we believe. We believe that Jesus has saved us, that his death on the cross makes the biggest difference in our lives because it gives us the only way that there is to deal with sin. And Jesus takes our sin on himself and then is able to connect us to God. That is good news. Good news that is meant to be shared. It changed the world of one
black Peter,
Ethiopian spiritual seeker, and it changed my life. It's worth sharing. If you've been watching online our Sunday services or the morning thoughts, or if you're not part of a church community, if you've been searching yourself, like the chap in our story was, we'd love the opportunity to introduce ourselves and, more importantly, introduce you to the love of God. If you've got questions, we'd love you to get in touch. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to help you if we can. We don't bite. Well, I don't, at least. Message us. We would love to chat with you. As a church, we'll be joining in with Christians in this country and around the world, praying, "Thy kingdom come," in the 10 days between Pentecost and Ascension. It's a global prayer movement, praying for people to come and know Christ. Peter will speak more about that next week, and there'll be plenty of ways to learn more and to join in via our church Facebook page. But one of the things we did last year, which Dan's already mentioned, has had value for me all year round. And it's this simple leather bracelet. And a picture of that will appear on the screen. A bracelet with 5 knots in it to remind us to pray for 5 people who are not Christians. It's the simple Philip method of connecting people to Christ. It reminds us that we are to be ready to be used by God, ready to listen to him, and ready to connect our friends and family to Christ. Those 5 knots reminding us of 5 people that we are committed to pray for blessing, for healing, for provision, for hearts that ask questions, for the opportunity to say something gospel-centered, to love them, to look for opportunities to bless them and to invest in their lives, to build relationship and trust, to be interested and love them and connect them to Christ. You are called to be a disciple maker. I am called to be a disciple maker. We are connected to connect others to Christ. May we be ready to be used by God, ready to listen to him, and ready to connect others to Christ.